Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 19. And the theme for our meditation this afternoon is leading by example. Remember last week how we have considered that there was an internal problem amongst the people. There were some people who were taking advantage of others. They were charging others usury. And this is the interest that they would charge from others. And because of this, some of them fell into debt. And when they cannot pay back their debt, they would even sell their own brethren. And Nehemiah had to exhort, had to gather the leaders together, gather the noblemen together, and to tell them, ask them, will you even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? And we thank the Lord that by His mercy, these people who were gathered, they took heed to the warning, and then they returned all these things, and they did according to this promise. Now, Nehemiah, from verse 14 onwards, what he would do is now he would say, don't you realize that I can do the very same thing that you have been doing? Because now I'm the governor of Judea. And I have certain rights as the governor of Judea. But you notice that I did not take advantage of you in my position. Instead, how have I treated you? And Nehemiah used his own example as the leader whom God has appointed to show the people how they should conduct themselves. So this afternoon, our consideration is really leading by example. What kind of leaders are we? Now, if the Lord is merciful and the Lord calls you to certain position of leadership, be it in the youth fellowship or in the church, or for that matter, even if you are called to a leadership position in your workplaces, what kind of leaders would you be? And you will realize that the principles that we're going to see here will be applicable to all of us in different spheres of life. Now, bear in mind that the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, this book which was chosen for our meditation and consideration, has been chosen earlier on. And we believe that it's by providence, where this book has been chosen for consideration. Remember that Calvary Tengah, now we are still rebuilding the church. We want to take root downward. But how should we take root downward? The instructions in Ezra and Nehemiah would guide us. And if it addresses very specific issues in our lives, then we must be mindful of this. We must pay attention to it. This is not by accident that the Lord allows all these messages to be delivered to His people. What is the Lord trying to tell us today? Now, from verse 14 to verse 19, the message is a very simple one. Nehemiah first told them, I am now the governor of Judea, in verse 14, and from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Now, he has been appointed as the governor of Judea by Artaxerxes the king, the Persian king. But he says, despite me being appointed as the governor, I have not eaten the bread which belongs to the governor. Now, what are some of these things, the privileges that has been given to the governors? He would tell us in verse 15, the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 4 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord, because of the fear of God. Now, some of the previous governors, they abused their authority. I believe that there was a part of it where it belonged to them, right? It was their rights as governors of the land to tax the people, for example, certain amount. But some of these previous governors, they abused their authority given to them. And so Nehemiah was now saying, look at how the previous governors treated you. But now, look at me. For these 12 years, the last 12 years, have I treated you like this? Look at my conduct, my behavior. And so the first principle that we can learn today, regarding the theme, leading by example, we must first realize that leaders must lead with humility. And this means that there will be times where you would have even to give up your own rights for the people's sake. Now, it was a privilege given to Nehemiah as the governor of the land, but he gave up that right for the people's sake. You know, there's a saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You want to know the true character of a person, you put that person into leadership. Do you have friends who are like that? Now, I remember when I was in secondary school, I joined the uniform group. Now, this is a very long ago example, and when we were young, yeah, this is how we behave. You know, we were naive and still childish in our minds. But when I was young, I remember when I joined a uniform group, and I have certain friends, and so when we were secondary one, we all start from the same rank, corporal, very low rank. Then after that, we slowly get promoted. Then we reach secondary four, some of them would become like the master sergeant, some of them would become staff sergeants and so on. Then next time, if they go to like JC, they want to continue the uniform groups, they can go for this course and then become the cadet lieutenant, something like that, CLT. Okay, so all these kind of ranks. Now, when you start together, when you're friends, you go through thick and thin together, very good friends. But then some of them, after they become, they get promoted, they now have certain authority, not a lot, but just a little bit more authority. You realize they change. The way they talk to you, they change. They no longer are as close to you. Of course, you must wear the right hat at different times. But that's not what we're talking about when you are in your uniform, you conduct yourself as an officer. But then when you're not in uniform, you're still friends. It's not like that. It's the whole attitude, the whole character, the whole person has changed. Now he feels that he's somebody. And then slowly, he will see, he would lose his friends. But why is it like that? This seems to be the human nature. You want to test a person's character, you put him into a position of authority. Then you will see his true colors. Is he truly who he is? Why has he changed? The way he talks, the way he walks. Now there's an air about him. But Nehemiah was very mindful. He remained humble. Although I'm a governor, but I still care for these people. I don't want to take advantage of them. There's no superiority or inferiority. Yes, he has an authority given to him, and the people still acknowledge his authority. There's no doubt about that. But he treated the people kindly. He gave up his own rights for the sake of the people. He could have demanded from them this tax, this bread and wine. But why did he care so much for them? If the Lord gives you the privilege to become a leader for him, would you still remain humble for the Lord? Would you give up your rights for the sake of the people whom you are leading? There are some leaders who in war, some officers, when they lead the people to war, they are the kind of leaders who would say, soldiers, charge. But then there are other kind of officers who, when they go to war, they would say, you charge, let me go to the office, I have a meeting. Okay, let me plan first, I'll do the planning, and then you go and charge. But there will be other kinds of officers who would say, soldiers, follow me. Which kind of leaders would you be? Verse 14 and verse 15 tells us the first principle. Remain humble. Then the second truth is now found in the second part of verse 15. Right? Verse 15b. Where Nehemiah says, I did not rule this way over the people because of the fear of God. Now, the previous governors, some of them were very wicked. Even their servants, they had rule over the people. They took advantage of the people. They despised the people. Even their servants would treat the people like that. And where would the servants learn it from? Of course, from the governors themselves. But Nehemiah says, I did not do this. Why? Because he feared God. And this is the second principle. Leaders must lead with humility, and they must lead with the fear of God. Now, what does it mean to fear God? Martin Luther makes a distinction between the different kinds of fear. And he says, generally, there are two different kinds of fear. One is called what he calls a servile fear, S-E-R-V-I-L-E, a servile kind of fear. Now, this kind of fear is where you are very afraid of a very wicked master, that kind of fear. You know, if let's say you are a servant and you have no choice but to come under the rule of a wicked master, a master that does not care, then you are always afraid. Okay, this kind of servile fear, a crippling kind of fear, a fear that eats you up all the time. There is this kind of fear. But then, Martin Luther says that there's another kind of fear, which he called filial fear. This kind of fear comes from the concept of a family, where it is the kind of fear that a child has for the father. Now, in this kind of fear, there is respect for the father. At the same time, he also doesn't want to offend the father whom he loves. But this kind of fear also goes beyond just mere respect. There's also the fear of displeasing his father. There's a fear of offending his father out of love. The child would want to please his father, express his love to the father. And the child also knows that if he disobeys his father, the father will also punish him and chastise him justly. So in a sense, there's also a fear of the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the fear to offend the holiness of God. This is the kind of fear which Martin Luther calls the filial fear. Now, I agree with his distinction and the definition here. And over here, the Bible tells us these leaders, they had an example, they led by example, in the kind of fear of God which they had. Not a kind of servile fear, when he's afraid of God because God may be a wicked master. No, that's not the kind of fear Nehemiah had. But he had a kind of fear where he desires to please God. He doesn't want to offend God. He also knows that if he disobeys God, God in his justice, in his righteousness, would chastise him. He doesn't want that as well. This is why he wants to please the Lord in all that he does. This is the very basic meaning of what it means to fear the Lord. Do you fear God? Leaders, when you reach a certain position, there will be very little people who can check on what you do. There will be very little people who can correct you. You're accountable to fewer people. If you are not a leader, you'll be accountable to more people. But as you increase in your position, be it in the office or in the church, it's the same thing. You are now your own boss. Let's say you have your own company, you're your own boss. No one can really check you. You are your own leader. How will you treat your workers? They may bring some of these complaints to the Ministry of Manpower, perhaps, but you know, some bosses, they are able to do certain things whereby it makes life very difficult for you, but it's still not enough for you to bring this complaint to the MOM. Right? Certain things, maybe certain things which they do, certain ways they manipulate things. They make life difficult for you, but it's not enough for you to bring it to the MOM. So wherever you are, what kind of leaders are you? As you climb the ladder, as you now increase in rank, you need to have more and more of the fear of God. Because that is when you won't allow power to corrupt you, to eat you up, to blind you. Now, Nehemiah was very conscious of the fear of God. He says he was mindful that God is watching the motives, the intentions, why he's doing what he's doing. He may have gotten all these things from the people, and the governors and the king, Artaxerxes, may not care. But I know that God cares and God watches. Now, this, of course, applies to the ministry in the church as well. If the Lord has placed you in the position of leadership, fear, the fear of God must govern you. The fear of God will keep you. It will keep you from going to certain directions that are displeasing to the Lord. You will always be mindful that everything that I do is not secret, because the Lord watches over all these things. I mean, the recent major case that we hear about regarding City Harvest and the court case that's still ongoing, really the issue is about the fear of God. No one may be able to pinpoint or check. In this case, the Lord has exposed their crime through investigation. Like, this police officers have been able to find out the crimes that they have committed, and all their sins are exposed. They are found out. But in some cases, it may not be. But if they had the fear of God, would they allow themselves to continue playing this game with the money of God's people, the money whom God's people has given unto the Lord? Would they allow themselves to do these things? If we have the fear of God, how will we conduct ourselves? How will we manage? How will we plan certain things? You know, we will not be afraid of people. The fear of God will protect us because we will not be afraid of people. One of the problems of leadership in the church is the fear of men. Oftentimes, leaders are concerned with two things in the church: how to bring more people into the church, and second, how to keep the people in the church. And the problem is, when we begin to fear men, we would do anything to bring people into the church. This is why so many churches today have used all the different kinds of methods to try to bring people into the church. But bringing people into the church is one thing. The second thing is how to keep the people in the church. And if you are afraid of men, the problem is you also do anything just to keep people in the church. And this is the error that so many churches have fallen into. If the people now, they want certain things, better if I want to keep them in, give it to them. If this family has sinned against God, better don't discipline them. What if they leave? What if this family is influential and then this family leaves and others leave with them? Better don't discipline them. If that other family, now, they want certain program for the church, better give in to them. If you allow the fear of man to govern you, then the church would die. This is why the fear of God is so important. But the fear of God doesn't only guard us in this way. The fear of God is that which also guards us when we do what is pleasing unto the Lord. When we do what is right, it is our comfort. Now, it's strange to think, but don't you realize that the fear of God is also your comfort? Now, it's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. But you see, when you fear God, you place your trust in Him. You commit your whole self to Him. You know that you are in His hands. And no matter what happens, you fear God, you are safe. This is why the fear of God is also such a comforting thing. When Nehemiah conducted himself now in the fear of God, could he have asked himself, if I don't tax the people with all this food and silver, then will the people still respect me? That's one thing. Nehemiah could also have wondered, who will provide for me in all these things? No, if I don't have all the bread and wine and silver, and later on you will see the number of people who will sit at his table for a meal, who will provide for me? But the fear of God would lead to the trust in God. And that is what we will see at the end of verse 19. So the second principle that we learn in leadership is there must always be the fear of God. Okay? Leadership in the church, spiritual leadership, is very different from leadership in the world. It's not through philosophy, not through the manipulation. It's always the fear of God. And then this leads to the third thing. Nehemiah was an example. And the third thing in verse 16, he was an example in how he continued in the work. Look at verse 16. Now the Bible says, "Yea, also I continue in the work of this war. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work." Now different commentators have different opinion as to what this buying of the land may mean. It could be that as Nehemiah was now the governor, one of the privileges entitled to him was to purchase his own land for the building of his own private housing. And what he could have done is to get his servants to build his private house. That could be one possible reason why Nehemiah described the buying of the land. But you see, Nehemiah was not interested in just his own personal well-being. He cared for the rebuilding of the wall first. "Neither bought we any land, but he continued in the work of God. And all his servants, instead of building his own house, contributed in the building of the walls of Jerusalem." Nehemiah continued in the work. And when we look at the New Testament, this is always the testimony that we see in how the apostles labored. When you go to Acts chapter 20, can you kindly turn with me to Acts chapter 20? In verse 17, the context here was where Apostle Paul gathered the elders of the church of Ephesus. Right? And here he was now departing from them, but he wanted to give them this final exhortation. And here he spoke of his own testimony when he labored together with them. And he says in verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now the testimony of Apostle Paul was, you know, you don't need me to prove my labor to you. You can see from the first day what manner of man have I been with you at all seasons. You can see for yourself my manner of life, my conduct in life. Am I always given to pleasure? Have I always been plain? But I have served the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations. Nehemiah shared the same testimony. He continued in the work, and he was saying, you can see the way I labor, the effort that I put in, the time I would spend for the work of the Lord. And this is a most wonderful testimony. If leaders can bear the same kind of testimony, whether you are an elder, a deacon, a preacher, whether you are a Sunday school teacher, the same thing. Can people see from your life the effort that you put in for the Lord's service? By the way, even if you are not yet in the leadership position, the same principle still applies. Can others see through your life the time, effort that you put in for the labor of the Lord? There are, of course, many areas of service where people cannot see. Right? People may not know. But the Lord knows, and the Lord will reward in this area. But one thing, though, is true. If people are unable to also witness that you are serving at all, then something also must be wrong. It cannot be that you are always only a secret servant of the Lord. There are many ways where you can serve, but you cannot be a secret servant of the Lord in your office, in your workplaces. Do others know your way of life, your manner of life? Because that is still an area of service. You cannot be a secret servant of the Lord. If, let's say, you have a workplace, you have colleagues, you work in that place for 20, 30 years, nobody knows that you are Christian because you have not said anything for Christ. Are you a secret servant of the Lord? No, in the United States, they have secret service, right, for the president. Okay. We are not called to be secret service, in the secret service. Now, in the church, of course, there are some who will serve quietly, privately. The Lord knows. But are you ready to testify for the Lord through your life, through your conduct, through the words that you say in church and in your own workplaces, in your own schools? Are you serving the Lord? Nehemiah, his example was clear for others to see how he continued in the work. Let us never give this excuse that we are too busy for the Lord's work. Nehemiah put the interests of the Lord's work above his own. Then now, from verse 17 to verse 18, we see Nehemiah in his example in how he cared for the people. So Nehemiah led by example in how he was humble, he remained humble, he feared the Lord, he continued in the work, and he now cared for the people. Verse 17 and verse 18. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. So he says, at his table, he would host Jews and rulers who would eat at his table, about 150. And then there will be also some who will come from among the heathens that are about us. And the amount of food that is necessary to feed all these people, in verse 18 he says, that which was prepared for me daily was one ox. So he needed one ox every day, six choice sheep, and also fowls were prepared for me. And once in 10 days, store of all sorts of wine. So every day he would need one ox, six choice sheep, and fowls, that's birds, which would be prepared for him. Perhaps chicken or turkey. Okay? But and once every 10 days, that all sorts of wine would also be used to host these people. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon these people. Despite all this, he did not tax the people. He did not get all this that were necessary to feed the 150 Jews around his table from the people. Then where did he get all these things? From himself for 12 years. Now, it would take a lot. It would drain his resources. But he willingly spent his own money for the sake of the people. And the reason is given, right? Because the bondage was heavy upon these people. He understood how the people felt, what the people were going through, the burdens that they were carrying. And he felt for them. He could identify himself with them. And identifying himself with them, he says, I don't want to burden the people. I would care for them. You know, this one amazing thing about Nehemiah. He was the governor. And oftentimes, when you think of governors, how often do they really know what is going on the ground? You see, in the army, it's the same thing. The higher up the rank you go, the less you know about the common people, right? Let's say when you are a section leader, you work together with your section, 7 men. You train together with them. You will know how they feel. You experience what they will go through, the training, the fears, the concerns, the troubles. If they have personal issues, you also know these things. Now, when you become a platoon sergeant, then you become slightly more removed from them. You may still know a little bit, but not as detailed, because now you may have about 21 men under your care. How to be concerned for each one of them. As you climb higher up the rank, you now become the officer of a company. Right? You take care of this whole company. Then how much harder it would be to now know really what everyone is going through. Then now you're in charge of a battalion. Now you're in charge of a brigade. Will you be able to go down to the ground level? So oftentimes, these very high-ranking officers, they would depend on these lower-ranking officers to report to them, right, to go up the ladder. But this is not how Nehemiah conducted himself. He knew the burden of the people. He could identify himself with them. He could feel for them. He cared for them. This is the kind of leadership that the church needs as well, where the leaders would know the people of God, and where the people of God would also know that the leaders know my burdens. The leaders are concerned for me. The leaders would feel what I feel. And if the Lord has appointed you as a deacon, as an elder, preacher, these are the leadership positions that God has given to you. Are you concerned? Do you care for God's people in a personal way? Now, it of course requires commitment, time, energy, effort. But Nehemiah could feel the bondage of the people, the weight that was on them. It was heavy. And he did what he could. He did not want to tax them, to care for the flock. This must be one of the most basic attitudes that leaders must have in the ministry which God has entrusted to us, caring for the people, to know the hearts of God's people. The last principle now is found in verse 19. Nehemiah cared for them. And in verse 19, he was an example in his trust and dependence in the Lord to provide. He says here, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He says, think upon me, my God, for good. Now, who is going to sustain him? Right? Having sacrificed so much for the people. I don't think Nehemiah thought this way, right? By the way, this is what I'm saying, that Nehemiah sacrificed so much for the people, but I don't think Nehemiah felt, I'm sacrificing so much for the people. I think he's more than happy to do so. But who will provide for Nehemiah? If I allow, you know, keep providing this meal for the people and not taxing the people, who will provide for me? Then Nehemiah says, think upon me, my God, for good. He was an example in the trust which he had in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord to provide for him, to sustain him. This was his dependence. My God will be good unto me. Now, this would be one thing that will always encourage God's people. When they can see God's leaders trusting in the Lord, come what may. When I was a student in the FEBC, now I'm still a part-time student, but when I was a full-time student, during a very difficult time, which we went through, when the college was sued, many of us, we were actually looking to our lecturers as our examples. How will they react to the lawsuits? How will they react to the accusations laid upon them? Because in class, they would teach us many things, right? Then they would have chapel. We have chapel hour every morning. So they'll instruct us in many things. But then was when we witnessed for ourselves how they responded, how they behaved themselves in court, because we went to the court also to see what kind of arguments they would use. Did they express trust in the Lord? We saw their weakness, right? We did. We did see moments where they seemed tired, they seemed exhausted. I do remember times like that. I do even remember times where they seemed frustrated, maybe not knowing what lies ahead. The college is at stake. The college could have just been taken away like that. But the trust that they place in the Lord, I would say that that has a lot more impact upon us as students than many of the lessons which they taught in class. Because that was really a teaching of the lesson through their life. The trust and the dependence in the Lord. And this is what leaders also must show. How you express and you manifest your trust and dependence in the Lord, both in your personal life and for the church. If the Lord allows you to go through certain difficult time, how would you react? How would you respond to these things? God's people will watch. If the Lord allows the church also to go through a difficult time, trusting in the Lord to provide, that is also key. And that must be an example to God's people. Leading by example. Five very simple truths. Nehemiah led with his humility. He led by example in the fear of God which he had. He continued in the work. He cared for the people, and he trusted in the Lord to provide. Now, we have a very good example for us, not just in Nehemiah, but in Christ himself, the head of the church. We see how he gave up himself for us, the humility which he showed. We see also the fear of God which he had, in fulfilling the mission that God has given to him, his obedience and his trust in God. We see his compassion and his love for his people. But a wonderful truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, still enables us, and his grace is upon us. As we desire to follow his example, he will strengthen us. Will God's leaders lead by the same example? Now, next time when we come back, in chapter 6, Nehemiah will go through a very difficult time. What he says here, therefore, will now be seen in how he would react and respond to the accusations laid against him. And Nehemiah must reflect the trust that he has upon God. He did not look to man to reward him. I do not look for this reward from the people, but he knows that the Lord will honor him as he honored the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this church which thou hast set up. We We also thank thee for those whom thou hast called to be thy leaders, both in this church and also leaders in the places that thou hast appointed us. We pray you will help us to be leaders who would be willing to serve, leaders who are humble, who would have the fear of thee, who would be earnest in the work entrusted to us, who would care for the people, and who would place their trust and confidence in thee. O Father, we know that the call to the leadership is a high calling. We know a lot is expected of thy leaders. But we also thank thee that it's a privilege. And as thou hast called, we pray thou wilt enable, thou wilt strengthen thy leaders to do thy work. So we pray especially for the leaders in this church, that thou wilt strengthen thy leaders to fulfill the many work that has been entrusted to them. And oftentimes, there will be a lot of burdens that have to be carried, and our shoulders are weak and small. But we thank thee that thy grace is sufficient for us, and we know that thou wilt strengthen and enable. So help us, grant us thy grace as we continue in the work of the Lord. Hear this, our humble cry, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.